Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. On the 24th of February, the Palace had clarified that, quote, Parliament may convene during the emergency period on a date considered appropriate by the ruler based on the advice of the Prime Minister, end quote. Since then, however, Parliament has remained shuttered despite ongoing calls to have it reconvene to carry out its constitutionally mandated legislative, representational and oversight functions. Will a functioning Parliament help with the effective management of the COVID-19 crisis? And what obstacles are in its way? Joining us on the show tonight to discuss this, we have the Speaker of Dewan Rakyat, Dato' Azhar Harun, or more popularly known by his pen name, Art Harun. Welcome to the show, Art. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, how would you respond to the increasingly loud and growing chorus calling for Parliament to reconvene?
Well, hello, everyone. Assalamualaikum and very good evening. Thank you very much for having me tonight and giving me this opportunity to explain several things. First of all, we have to clear up the false narrative that has been going around. The first false narrative is that the Speaker has the power to call for Parliament to sit. That is false. I do not have the power to summon the Parliament to sit or to stop the Parliament from sitting. So that power is not with me. The second false narrative is a bit more of concern because it says only the King can summon the Parliament or only the King can stop the Parliament. That is half-truth, actually. It is false. The King, of course, has the power to summon or to prorogue the Parliament, but His Majesty acts on the advice of the government through the advice of the Prime Minister. So we have to correct that. Having said so, of course, there have been calls now by various parties that the Parliament do be summoned to sit. That is up to the government of the day to make a decision. And the government of the day, in making the decision, they have decided that the best interest of the nation now calls for a state of emergency and call for also the non-sitting of the Parliament. So that is what has been done, and the King has been so advised, and the King has accepted that advice and proclaimed an emergency and passed an emergency ordinance to that effect. So there is a constitutional basis for that, and it is not for me to express any opinion on this, because really, I do not want to be politicized. I do not want the office of the Speaker to be politicized.
That's interesting, because I think many of your critics know that there might be legal issues or constitutional issues that are still need to be debated, as it were about, you know, the various the constitutionality of the emergency, so on and so forth. But they do ask you to use your office and its moral heft to shift the conversation, to advise perhaps all the stakeholders on the value of Parliament and its function, even during a crisis like this. Is that something you're willing to weigh in on?
I have engaged with the cabinet, with the politicians, and I have also actually engaged with the palace over the matter. I do not wish to go any further than that, because I do not want to be politicized. Basically, everything in Malaysia now is hotly politicized, rightly or wrongly. I do not say that it is wrong to politicize matters, and I am not going to say that it is right as well, because the position, the situation that we are all in now, is dire. Is dire. An emergency has been proclaimed, and I think all the administration have to do is to focus on solving these two things. First, the COVID situation, and the second, the economic situation. So I do not wish to further muddle the water. I do not wish to enter into this political arena, because really, all the words, all the posturing so far, sadly to me, have been politics.
Okay, so I know you say you don't want to go any further, Art, but Deputy Speaker Azlina Osman, she clearly went further. She wrote an open letter. What do you make of that open letter in which she wrote, to quote her, "Hendak Sri Budaya tak hendak Sri Budali," where there is a will, there is a way?
Well, you know, Yang Berhormat Datuk Sri Azlina, by deputy, with all the respect to her, she's not like me. She's a politician. So, being a politician, there is a need to adopt a certain posture, a certain positioning for political benefits. And I do not have that. And I do not have that feeling. I do not find that need to do so. And more so in my seat, when everything is being politicized, I wish to avoid that totally, really.
Art, I want to ask you, though, you know, the conversation about Parliament shifted from whether it was safe under conditions of the pandemic to convene it. And there were, you know, suggestions of, you know, doing what Britain and many other parliaments around the world had done by going electronic, to now the question of whether it's even useful having, even though, you know, most parliamentarians have been vaccinated, the question of even having Parliament convene as if it might provide a source of instability for the current government. I mean, where do you think Malaysians should be focused on? I mean, what is the way that we should think about Parliament and its role during a crisis?
You see, I could see where the president actually proclaiming emergency, I think what was thought then was that they could focus on the two dire problem that we have, I see, to solve this COVID-19 pandemic issue and to provide a certain impetus for our economic recovery. And by suspending, so to speak, the sitting of the government, I think the sitting of the parliament, I think the government thought that they could deal with these two issues in more timely fashion, quickly, without having to go through the normal long process of passing laws through first reading, second reading, the jawatan kuasa level, and then the third reading. Going by how the budget was so hotly debated at a political level, much more than at policy level, I think the government must have thought that, you know, having this emergency and the cancellation of the sitting of the parliament, the government could pass laws, could make policies to deal with these two problems more effectively and more quickly. I think that was where they came.
But has it, Art? In fact, has this last 6 months proved the basic premise that emergency rule would actually make for a better management of the pandemic, when in fact we had just the opposite happen?
That is for the government to analyze and to report, and not for me. But the thing is this, if you look at the numbers, of course the numbers are quite bad now, I must say, admittedly. And various initiatives have been announced. But, you know, everybody say the government has failed to deal with the COVID-19, the spread of the COVID-19 virus. But I think if I may be allowed to say something about the COVID-19 initiative, or rather the prevention of COVID-19 initiatives, I think we have not communitized the initiative much, you know. we have in fact not done that at all. The enforcement, so to speak, of the various SOPs and whatever are left to the police and to the enforcement authorities. Now, that creates them against us, a feeling on the ground. You know, there is no sense of responsibility. There is no sense of togetherness, you know, in fighting the pandemic. I think if we manage to communitize, to communitize the various initiatives, I think then there will be sense of belonging that will be a bit more effective.
Art, I want to come back to the issue of Parliament sittings and if and when Dewan Rakyat is able to convene again, is Parliament ready for virtual sittings, or do you foresee, having in-person sittings once again? I'm just wondering what's been done in the past 5-6 months to prepare Malaysian Parliament for virtual sittings.
Okay, I have on my part instructed my secretariat, the Ketum Pentadbir Parliament, all to have a look at this methodology, technology, and to have a look also at the present regulatory framework to enable virtual sitting. We have, I have been advised by the secretariat that they have invited proposal from various contractors. They have seen the presentation by various contractors, and they have done the cost study. And in fact, tomorrow, coincidentally, we are supposed to sit down together with my deputies, three of us, me and my deputies, together with my secretariat to go through whatever proposal that have been made so far. So that is in respect of technology and methodology and the cost, the finance side of it. But apart from that, we also have to look at the regulatory and constitutional framework. My legal advisors are of the opinion that the constitution, the federal constitution, need to be amended to enable virtual sitting. So that's the constitutional constraint that I have, and that may need a two-third majority to do so. This and why is that? Because the federal constitution say that those who are not present in the house cannot vote. Number one. And number two, you know, every time His Majesty the King summons the Parliament, His Majesty will issue a proclamation, and that proclamation will be gazetted. Yeah? And the proclamation will say the House is hereby summoned to sit from what date to what date, every day from what time to what time, and thirdly, tempat, venue. And the venue is the House of Parliament. It's physical. So right now, the constitution, the proclamation, and the standing orders are all made on the basis that the sitting will be a physical sitting. So if we want to have virtual sitting, those need to be amended. Those need to be amended.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate you joining us, sharing your insights and your perspectives. We appreciate your time. Thank you. We're going to take pleasure. A quick break. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.
Kita berhadapan dengan situasi pandemik yang agak luar biasa.
It's self-control, self-lockdown itu penting.
Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan PKP, kendiri dan keluarga.
Saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Sedia?
Let's go.
Pengalaman baru di Astro Awan. hanya di saluran 501. Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Simak fakta melalui www.esraawani.com atau aplikasi Esra Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
Kini berwajah baru.
Ini pula susulan khas pesawat Back Air di Kazakhstan. Pesawat berkenaan dilaporkan tergelincir dua kali.
Notifikasi berita terkini dan navigasi mudah. Podcast dikemas kini dengan berita dan program.
Rebirth, reformasi, resistance and hope.
Serta video tanpa had dengan scroll tanpa henti. Buat turun aplikasi baru Esra Awani sekarang.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang...
Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sherrod and I on Consider This. Joining us on the show now is former NST Group Editor Tan Sri Munir Majid. He's currently the chairperson of the think tank Shari ASEAN Research and Advocacy. Tan Sri, welcome to the show. It's good to have you joining us tonight. I'd like to begin our conversation by citing your opinion piece that was published today with the title, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid. In this article, you argued three things are required to help the country overcome this pandemic. The first, the formation of a unity government. Second, reconvening parliament. And the third, a strict adherence to SOPs. And we want to go through all three pillars that you talk about today. Given your extensive experience in the Malaysian corporate world, I'm just wondering, in the tone of this piece, are you channeling concerns that are shared by, say, the broader business and intellectual community?
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I think it is a matter of deep concern among public intellectuals, informed public opinion, business community, and even the diplomatic community people you talk about. Essentially, I mean, the government cannot continue to be operating as a government that's walking on thin ice, you know. I mean, you know, always thinking about what next step must I take, you know, to stay in power. You know, what step must I be careful about that might sort of get me out of power and so on, rather than, you know, sort of being focused on this God Almighty once-in-a-lifetime crisis that we are facing. I think we have to, therefore, you know, have a government which doesn't keep looking behind its shoulder, you know, to see who's about to stab it in the back. You know, a government that doesn't look forward to see which how to be one step ahead of all sorts of political foes. So we need a unity government. I mean, you know, we talk about, and the government does talk itself about addressing this pandemic through a whole of government approach. Now we see there are cracks even in the whole of government approach, and what certainly there is not any whole of nation approach. That's what we need. We need a whole of government approach and a whole of nation approach together. And therefore, you see, as I said, the government cannot continue to be like the Malays say, you know, pijak semua tak mati, you know, cari, you know, those just looking cari jalan, and so that's not, you know, survival of government is secondary to survival of the people and the economy. And therefore, that's why I think if you have a unity government, you'll be less obsessed with that kind of survival, can focus, you know, on people's lives, can focus on the economy and not be afraid of being voted out. That's why, Melissa.
Tansi, can I ask you very quickly, what specifically have you been disappointed with in the management of the pandemic?
Oh, goodness sake. I mean, just think of today. You know, just think of tomorrow. Just think of the lockdown that's going to happen. there was an almighty rush to find out who's going to be allowed to have their factories open tomorrow and who's not going to be. What are the factories? What are the old letters that of permission, you know, to be allowed to operate, continue to be valid? Was there, you know, is there, you've got to inform your workers, you know, whether they are, they can come to work tomorrow or should come to work tomorrow. And then you have again, we had a collapse, you know, of the system. I mean, crash. So this is, you know, this is not, we're just not starting out on the pandemic, on the crisis. We are, you know, what, 18 months into it or well over a year into it. And therefore, you know, all these things should be in place.
Well, that's really, you know, you've outlined in this opinion piece two political steps and one that's broadly social practice. And I wanted to ask you, if all of those proposals, it seems to me that, you know, it's all based on bridging this yawning trust deficit among political stakeholders. How do you think that can be done? I mean, who could possibly play the role of honest broker to forge a national consensus on this crisis, or as you point out, to forge a government of national unity?
Well, the point is, you know, the Prime Minister is in a position to play that role. And I pointed out in my article, he should rise above the concerns of narrow politics and engage the support of all parties interested in forming the government of unity government. And therefore, it's up to the PM. He is the PM right now. I mean, I do not subscribe, you know, to all these. I don't believe when people talk about, you know, backdoor government and so on and so forth, and therefore there's no legitimacy in the position of the Prime Minister. Because in coalition politics, you know, these kinds of shenanigans, you know, of these kinds of steps and happen all the time. You look at Belgium, you know, which has got a lot of experience in terms of coalition politics. You look at Italy, even more dramatically, which perhaps closer to the Malaysian situation in many ways in terms of a drama. And these things happen, and then and loyalties shift, support shifts, and therefore, you know, there was the events that happened in February last year, as they did, and support fell off. The then incumbent prime minister, and it was, yes, it was maneuvered. The support then, you know, was concentrated in the hands of the current prime minister, and he was gained by the Agongtu, who have the majority support of parliament, and therefore he was made prime minister. Now, there's only been one occasion in which his support in parliament had been sustained, and that was during the budget, sort of vote for the 2021 budget. And therefore, you know, he is the prime minister. These shenanigans, these maneuverings happen, you know, in coalition politics. And I,
yeah,
you know,
this is a backdoor.
So, but he's the prime minister now. So he should play the role, lead the nation.
Tansri, you know, on that point, the palace made it very clear in February that there's nothing in the emergency ordinances that precludes Parliament reconvening and sitting on these important matters. But the Prime Minister and the executive seems to have decided not to. I mean, what's your take on this refusal to reconvene Parliament?
No, you know, I would say that Parliament has been sidelined, okay? All right. You know, the Parliament has been sidelined. And it has been sidelined because of the uncertainty of support for the government. And this support has been shifting, as you know. I mean, our dear MPs are chameleons, as you know, and there are all sorts of allegations also about how their support shifts. And therefore, you know, but this uncertainty is something which is not good for business. It's not good for the country. Everyone talks about people wanting to see confidence in the nation. Business does not like uncertainty. Now, we need to establish certain certainty, put an end to the uncertainty. And I think where we are now, you know, if you have a vote, and let's say that the prime minister is defeated. So what next? You know, all right? You have a general vote. Can you have a general election right now? No way. It's suicidal. Therefore, I think the best way forward is, okay, let's get together, guys. They all make all these, you know, sort of high-polluting, you know, speeches about unity and this, that, and the other. Now, do it. Prove it. Show the people that you can do it. And then, you know, when such a thing happens, and if there is a unity government, and it becomes more efficient and competent, it will help the people a lot and businesses a lot in these trying times. And we should give them, people who have professional abilities, the capacity to help the government in this really difficult situation. I mean, for example, the Director General of Health, you know, and he's one man, you know, sort of fighting his corner every time the MKN eats. It cannot be, you know, that kind of the importance of science, you know, must be clearly established, for example, in terms of decision.
Okay. Tan Sri Munir Majid, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have on this episode of Consider This. Thank you for sharing your insights. Now, before we leave you tonight, a quick reminder that you can get all the COVID-19 vaccine news and information on astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
We'll be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.